Reading from Sri Bhajan Rahasyam by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And yesterday we basically finished a chapter, all the different points in relation to Ruchi and Nam Bhajan. And now at the close of the chapter, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how a devotee who is on the level of bhava, how he relates to this particular fourth level of bhajan. And the introduction, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that each of these pairs of holy name, it has a relationship to these pastimes. And he explains that Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So the last pair of names, the fourth pair of names, the first is Hare Krishna, then Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, the fourth pair of holy names, is Ruchi. He is explaining that in this Hare Hare is Ruchi. Actually, Ruchi, the taste for Nam is actually contained in this pair of names. That this level of bhajan is here in Hare Hare. And then, so, for one who is not at the level of bhava, when one is chanting the Maha Mantra, and he approaches these names, Hare Hare, which are names for Radharani, Mother Hara. And then, packed, what he's saying is, this is the secret which one has to find, but packed within these two names, Hare Hare, is the principle or the concept of Ruchi and Bhajan. Actual taste for the holy name comes out of this pair, Hare Hare. Because Radharani, she is giving so many tasty, she's performing so many tasty services. And the taste of love, which Krishna relishes to the upteenth degree, comes only from Srimati Radharani in the maximum amount. So this is represented by Hare Hare. And then he says, for the one who's on the level of bhav, then Hare Hare represents Madhyan Leela. Madhyan Leela means this midday Leela, which happens here at Radhakund from 10:48 or some say 10:36 in the morning, a.m. until 3:36 in the afternoon. Such variety of pastimes happens here. And all this whole Madhyan Leela, this Astakaliya Leela, there's eight different sections or time periods of Krishna's Leela. They are packed in each of these pairs of holy names. For example, the first Hare Krishna, inside of that, those two names, Hare and Krishna, there is Nishant Leela. This first Leela. And that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains as Pratam. Pratam Yam Sadhana. And we discussed that last year. That Radha and Krishna are together. They're waking up. Hare and Krishna, they're together waking up in Nikunj. And this represents Shraddha, faith in the Lord. So this is what is his realization. And it is to become our realization by doing bhajan and praying to the Lord to reveal at the level of bhava, this is what happens. One is chanting this Hare Hare, and Hare Hare takes one into Madhyan Leela. That's basically how he's explaining it, how Bhaktivinoda explains it. So therefore, he concludes each of his chapters, each of the sadhana chapters, this is Chaturyam Sadhana, by putting in one verse for devotees that are on the level of bhava. How will devotees on the level of bhava, how will they chant the holy name? So he gives us some idea of what the goal is or what we may experience at some time or some life and our improvement and advancement in Nam Bhajan. So each chapter ends like this. Okay, there's 22 verses that are meant for mantra upasana. So mantra upasana means it's a type of sadhana where each one of these verses, at least this is how they describe in some other Gaudiya Vaishnavas when they teach from this book, they explain that Bhaktivinoda Thakur's intention was that each of these 23 verses, if you happen to be scholarly type, there's different levels of applying this principle of bhajan to this book. But if one can, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's intention was that each of these verses in this chapter, which are related to Nam Ruchi, or taste in bhajan, should be studied very deeply. For example, yesterday's verse was about the how at an advanced level of ruchi one begins to think of the Lord and start to meditate on the form of the Lord. And that was from 4th Canto, chapter 22, verse 39. So taking this one verse, for example, Bhaktivinoda, his idea, this is the bhajan. Read this verse, read the word for word, read the translation, read the commentaries, and then pray, then meditate. That can be done as one independent practice of bhajan, separate from chanting the holy name. Absorb oneself in this verse. And the meaning, his intention was that we would learn the meaning of each word. Of course, this is for the devotee that has good intellect or memory power, or he's scholastic type. So this is one level of bhajan, because this is the bhajan, this is the type of bhajan that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this is what he was doing. These verses were arising from his heart when he's praying to the Lord to reveal the secrets of bhajan, the secrets of ruchi or taste and non-bhajan, and these verses came out of his heart. And then he studied them, and then after studying them and realizing them, he wrote his Bengali version of these verses. And then he explained that one should study these verses, learn them, learn the meaning of these verses, and then pray to who's ever speaking these verses. In this case, this is Snat Kamara speaking to Prithu. So he prayed to Snat Kamara and to Prithu Maharaj and to Guru Maharaj. And in our case, Bhaktivinoda is not saying, but we'll pray to Bhaktivinoda Thakur that the inner meaning of these verses will reveal itself. That's why it's a secret. If you call the book Rahasyam, and it's full of, and everything's in front of you, then you can't call it Rahasyam. You can't call it Secrets of Bhajan. This book is indication. This is the indication of the way of bhajan, and should perform bhajan like this, and then each person will find the secrets. It's not, otherwise there's no reason. It should be called the open teachings of bhajan. It's called Bhajan Rahasyam. These are secrets of bhajan. But they were locked in Bhaktivinoda's heart, and he received them from the heart of Vishwanath, and Vishwanath received them from the heart of Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami received them from the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they're coming in this parampara from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa and Sanatan, and to Vishwanath and to Bhaktivinoda. And now those secrets that were in their heart, he's putting out in verses. And when we study these verses in this chapter, which is all about ruchi and bhajan, then what comes out of these verses is the purification and the purification of the heart and the attachment to non-bhajan and the nami, which means Radha and Krishna, which will enable us to actually taste the holy name or experience taste in all the limbs of bhajan. So this is one level. It's just, you can say it's verse study, deep study these verses in relation to this concept of ruchi and bhajan. Nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema. Because the whole idea of the book is to reveal the secrets of Krishna prema, to help the devotees coming in the line of Mahaprabhu, following the progressive path of bhajan, to steadily and very systematically attain and very quickly Krishna prema. This is the bhajan. The second way that this is applied is this: the bhajan. His intention was that one will chant the holy name. And this is what, especially one on the level of bhava, he will do this. He's chanting the holy name, the Maha Mantra, and he's looking at these verses, and these verses are giving him so much relish. Because as you know, or at least we've heard, that each verse of the Bhagavatam has so many meanings, according to our adhikara, according to our level of realization of Radha and Krishna, we'll understand so many meanings. Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi, as we mentioned. That Mahaprabhu is saying that the essence of all Vedanta, this is a verse where he glorifies, Sarva Vedanta Saramhi. He says the Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedas. So each one of these verses is the essence of Nam Ruchi. But when one has Ruchi and Nam, and at the level of Bhava, he also has Ruchi. So when a Jatarati Sadaka, when a devotee who has attained Bhav, he's chanting the holy name and he reads these verses, he will experience such a very high taste of ruchi, very high taste, which is mixed with all his own bhavas. And he will see so many meanings, as we heard this morning about the same verse, Yat Pada Pankaja Palasha Vilasa Bhaktya. Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, he was explaining that this vilas bhaktiya, it means V. What is it? Remember what's V? Very special. V means very special. Las, it was saying current, very special current, a river. River of bhakti, it means the river of prem, the prem sweetness which is coming from Pankaja Palasha, the river of sweetness which is coming from the bud-like or the leaf-like or the lotus-like feet of Krishna. The devotee's heart immerses in that sweetness and it runs to the ocean, just like the rivers run to the ocean. So one at Bhava Bhakti, he'll chant this verse and his heart will immerse in the sweetness of Krishna's feet. And then he'll become absorbed in the Rupa Madhurya, Leela Madhurya of the Lord. So this one verse will take the Bhava Bhakti into Leela Smaran. And he will just flow like a river. It's called Swarasiki Bhajan. So he will look at these same verses, the Jatarati Sadaka. He will chant the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Look at the verse. Then he'll engage in what's called Swarasiki Bhajan, or Swarasiki Upasana. From our level, a sadhaka that is hankering to attain ruchi or is beginning to taste ruchi and nam, he can also chant the holy name. Then he'll be studying the verse and praying for the verse to reveal its secrets and its mercy and its meaning deep in the heart. So this is three levels of bhajan that Bhaktivinoda Thakur intended for this verse. For this book, Bhajan Rahasya. So it requires practice. Like some people, they buy a cookbook, and I say, oh, you have that cookbook. Did you read it? Yes, I'm reading it. It's very interesting. And they say, have you made anything from that cookbook? Have you cooked anything? No, I haven't made anything. So then what value? What is the value of the cookbook? Cookbook is to give recipes which you will put into practice and make some nice food to offer to Krishna, some nice offering. So Bhajan Rahasyam is a book of practice. It's theory, and it's also guiding us towards practice. So when we put the theory into practice, then we get realization. Because we want, this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants to give us. He is a Kripambudi. He is a ocean of mercy. He wants to give us Ruchi and Bhajan. He wants to give us Nishtha and Bhajan. He wants to give us attachment to Krishna and Prema, Krishna Prem. This is the gift of the, and it's, in other words, if someone has this gift in their heart, if they have Prema in their heart, the nature is they want to distribute it. They want to give it. So Mahaprabhu came to give it, Namo Mahavananyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate, and all the Acharyas in our parampara came to give it. So now he's saying, yes, here, take it. This is how you take it. It's here. It's all right here. Shraddha to Prema is right here in one book. It's like one shopping mall. You go in one shopping mall, you can buy everything you need, food and clothes and sports equipment or whatever you need, travel tickets, everything in one big mall, so many shops. So the last verse, he puts it last verse in for the Jatarati Sadaka, which means that personality or that spiritual person who is actually on the level of Bhava. And he says he will meditate on the Madhyan Leela. And then he gives one verse here, which is actually from Rupa Goswami, which is included in Govinda Leela Amrita in the introduction to Madhyan Leela. Rather long verse, very beautiful Sanskrit. I don't really know how to pronounce it. I mean, say it properly, but I can read the English. The translation is, I meditate upon Sri Radha and Krishna, who at midday enjoy each other's company. Here at Radhakund, while being beautifully decorated with various bhavas, such as ashta-sattvic bhavas and vyabhachari bhavas, they become extremely restless due to contrariness and yearning. In their amorous play, the joking words of Sri Lalita and other sakis give them much pleasure. Radha and Krishna blissfully enjoy sports like swinging and moving in the forest, playing in the water, stealing the flute, amorous meeting, drinking honey, worshipping the sun god, and many other kinds of pastimes, while being served by their dear ones. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he puts the verse in Bengali, which is easier to read. Radha kunde sumilana vikaradi vibhushana vamyut kanta mugda bhavalila sambhoga narmadivriti ndola kela vamshivriti Madhupana Surya Puja Kela Jala Kela Vanyasana Chala Supti Vanyatana Bahulila Nande Dui Jane Parijana Suveshtita Radha Krishna Susevita Madhyana Kalete Smariman Madhyana Kalete Smariman. A translation of this rather musical, poetical, easy to pronounce Bengali. I remember the beautiful meeting of Radha and Krishna at Radhakund. Their bodies are adorned with various symptoms of ecstatic love. Revealing a contrary mood, Radharani resists Krishna's various advances, showing emotions such as eagerness and bewilderment. During this time, Radha and Krishna enjoy a variety of blissful pastimes, like teasing, joking with each other, swinging, stealing the flute, drinking honey wine, playing dice, engaging in Surya Puja and playing water sports, enjoying a forest picnic and pretending to be asleep. It's called Chala Supti. Chala Supti. Wandering through the forest to enjoy its beauty. In this way, Radha and Krishna enjoy limited blissful pastimes while surrounded and served by their intimate associates. So these are so many beautiful pastimes the Lord enjoys right here in this place in Radhakund. They say, the Acharyas say, that these pastimes Krishna enjoys in different places in Vrindavan. It didn't mention here, but Krishna also enjoys Holi at Radhakund, where they throw colors on each other. Radharani, they squirt colors and throw colored powders. You must have seen in Gaur Purnim time. And swinging, they swing in Barsana. They sit on a swing in Barsana. And they also have Rasa dance here sometimes, and Rasa dances other places. And Radha and Krishna have Jal Keli. They play in the water at Manasi Ganga and Jamuna, and also in Pavan Sarovara. So in different places, these same pastimes go on. But the Acharyas say that there is a special quality about these pastimes when they're performed in Radhakund. And that quality is the intense sweetness of these pastimes. Because Radhakund, you can say, is Radharani's private pleasure domain. There is no interference here from other static. There's no static here created by other personalities. There is no presence of Nanda or Yashoda or coward boys. I mean, there are a couple of coward boys, Sridham and Madhumangal, because they're in this, they share this intimacy of Krishna because they're Priyanarma Sakas. So they understand that Krishna has relationships with the gopis. They are privy to Krishna's secrets. In fact, they even carry his love notes. When Krishna writes love messages on petals of a lotus, then he rolls it up and he pins it shut with a little piece of stick or clove. And he gives it to Sridham to give to his sister, because Sridham is Radharani's brother. So he's a trusted messenger in this regard. So he brings that love note to Radharani. And sometimes when they're meeting, then the boys wait outside. Or Krishna tells Madhumangal, well, now Radharani and I want to be alone, so why don't you go there? There's a nice banana patch there. There's many ripe bananas. You can go and enjoy your fill over there. So then Madhumangal wanders off into the banana patch with Sridham and Subal. And they have some kind of contest. Because whenever boys get together, they always have contests. This is their nature. Whatever they do, it has to be a game. It's turned into a game. It's turned into fun. So when they get there to the banana patch, then they have to say, oh, who can eat the most bananas? Or who can throw the peel the furthest? Or who can... They eat the banana, then they throw the peel up in the tree, or they try to throw the peel on top of a monkey or something. There's some monkey there. They make some game. So in this way, they play. So this is the... conclusion of the chapter, that this is at the level of bhava. When one chants Hare Hare, then it's almost like you have 8 buttons on your television, 8 channels. Of course, now there's so many. But one channel is Nishant Leela, then Pratak Leela, Purvan Leela, Madhyan Leela, Purvan Leela, Shayan Leela, Pradosha Leela, Nisha Leela. These eight channels are there. And then there's eight pairs of Maha Mantra. So, Hare Krishna Nishant Leela, Hare Krishna Pratik Leela, Krishna Krishna Purvan Leela, Hare Hare Madhyan Leela, Hare Ram Apurvan Leela, Hare Ram Shayan Leela, Ram Ram Pradosha Leela, Hare Hare, then Nisha Leela. It's like this. This is Bhaktivinoda's experience and realization because he's on the highest level of Bhav and Prem. So we accept that and we believe that and we have to realize that ourselves when we come to that level. Because in the holy name there's Krishna and Radha, everything is there, the Nam Rup, Guna, Leela and all their pastimes. So they can appear like this, or at least they are appearing like this to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he's confident that these Leelas will also appear to us. So in this fourth presentation of bhajan, this is what he's telling, is that you will enter the by chanting Hare Hare, you'll enter the Madhyan Leela, the midday pastimes. The Hare Hare will take you into Madhyan Leela, and you'll see these pastimes. And then, of course, this is happening to the level of bhava. So at the level of bhava, one also has clear indication of their siddhadeha. So they'll be rendering service there in their spiritual body while meditating and remembering these leelas. So this is basically, this is the fourth level of ruchi in bhajan. So this kind of book, we hear some class, we get some impression, some direction, and then we have to follow. We chant these verses, and we pray to these verses, and then we chant the holy name, and see how, what happens. It's like anything. Like there's theory, what they say, there's hypothesis. Hypothesis, which is some statement about what will happen. Then there's experimentation. Then you observe results and draw a conclusion. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving hypotheses that the study of these verses, along with the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, will actually help one become very fixed and taste in the holy name, Nam, Ruchi, and Bhajan. So now the next thing is we have to apply it. We have to experiment, do the experiment, chant these verses, meditate on these verses, enter deeply into the meaning of these verses. Because at first, when you read some of these verses, you'll say, how is this? The Vrichasura's Upakya, or the prayer, this one prayer of Vrichasura, how is this indicating Ruchi and Bhajan? Well, when you study it, then Vrichasura will be kind, and Shukadeva Goswami will be kind and say, this is what's happening. So that, because someone just tells you, yes, because you can just say, yes, read this verse, you don't get Ruchi. Well, you have to do it. Right? It's like this. If you don't do it, then how can you? Like the doctor saying, take this medicine. You have a headache, you have a fever. Take this medicine, your headache will go away. Oh, that sounds like a good theory. You're giving me a good theory. I have the medicine in my pocket. And then he says, he meets you later. Well, is your headache gone? No, I still have my headache. Did you take the medicine? Yes, I have the medicine. Where? It's in my pocket. He said, well, then put it in your mouth and see what happens. So pretty much this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is trying to hear. He's laid the groundwork. He's done the bhajan. He got up at 1 o'clock every night and he deeply entered in the Shikshastakam. What is Lord Chaitanya teaching here? Because we say these are the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, these eight teachings, Shikshastakam. And Krishna's Kaviraj, at the conclusion of these teachings, and Anti Leela, he's saying anyone who even chants these prayers every day, he will get Krishna Prem. So these teachings or Shiksha of Mahaprabhu are all about Prem. Prem of Pumartha Mahan. This is the goal. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur is deeply entering into the Shikshastakam. Is there something more here? Because Lord Chaitanya, certainly there's everything is here. Sambandha is here, Abhideya is here, Prayojana is here. Now how can I make this more accessible? How can I deepen the devotee's understanding and penetration into these also secret teachings of the Lord? Because Lord Chaitanya gave these teachings while he was in Gambhira. And Gambhira means a very deep, dark, hidden place. Something very confidential. Something very deep. Something very weighty. It's called Gambhira. So Gambhira also means Rahasya. Means something secret. Something very... something that's very hidden, confidential, that secret. So from the deepest core of his heart, deepest core of Lord Gauranga's heart, he brought out the Shikshastakam. So they're very secret things. So now Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants to unveil or reveal the secrets of the heart of Lord Chaitanya. So he's written this entire book, which is one of the last, if not the last book that he wrote. So we'll stop there before we start the next Yama. We can ask for any questions or comments. Yes?
You mentioned Sridham as delivering the messages.
Yes.
I thought he's not a Priyanarma Saka, is he?
I can't remember, but I thought it was Sridham. I thought.
Okay.
At least Sridham is delivering messages sometimes, a particular category, whether he's Parama Preshta or.
I just thought because being Radharani's.
Well, he doesn't know what's in the message.
Okay.
He doesn't, like the mailman doesn't know what message he's bringing, you know. Because because when Radharani's staying in Barsana for 3 months, her bedroom was right next to his, so he's a pretty convenient person to give a message to. And because, you know, he's seeing her, they eat breakfast, they eat together, and he's right there. Subal is always there, Madhumangal, Sridham. As far as I remember. Other question? Yes.
You told her to realize soul doesn't feel pain in his body or like something anesthesia. They don't.
That was Chaitanya Charitamrita class. It's okay, you can ask another time that question. Let's try to stay on the point. That was about Vasudeva and the worms and all that stuff. I guess you're still in that class.
He left.
Oh, Asha. Yeah, we're in. This is another class, Bhajan Rahasyam. Something about this point, the Ruchi Bhajan, Nam Ruchi or Bhajan. In other words, everyone has to buy the book, basically. I think there are a couple editions of this book available. At least I know that Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Bhumipati, they translated probably the first edition in English of this book, which was a favor that Pundarik, they did for myself, actually, which they mentioned in the introduction. Because this book has always been mentioned as a book we should study, so we prevailed upon Pundarik and Bhumipati years ago, and then they published it, but without the commentaries. It's nicely done, but it's a little bit limited. This book is quite comprehensive, this edition. There's another edition, I don't know, by another Gaudiamath person, but I don't know if it's in print. I have an out-of-print, pre-press copy, Bhakti Vallabha Tirtha Swami. Some question? In other words, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this is our line, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada, this is our line, this is our way of bhajan, this is our padati, there's Siddha Krishnadasa's padati, there's Dhyan Chandra's padati, there's Rupa Sanatan padati. Rupa Sanatan padati is called the progressive path of bhajan, which is based on the shloka Ado Shara Tata Sarasanga Bhajana Kriya. So these books that are given by Rupa and Raghunath and Bhaktivinoda are presenting this way of bhajan. Yes.
I just want to ask once again. So this book is are shlokas which are composed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he gave purpose on those shlokas, right? And who else?
These verses appeared in the introduction, explaining that these verses appeared in the heart of Bhaktivinoda Thakur while he was chanting Nam Bhajan, and he was praying to Mahaprabhu and praying to that Mahaprabhu would reveal some way to understand the different aspects of Shikshastakam. So Mahaprabhu is revealing in his heart these different verses which will help understand. So all these, this whole synthesis of the nine steps of devotion or nine stages of devotion, the eight mantras, or let's say the eight pairs of mantras and the Maha Mantra, the eight time periods of the day, and the what else? I think that one other thing. all of these together, he combined all these together, and it, as it's all related to Shikshastakam, basically. So he didn't exactly give a, he gave somewhat of a purport. He rephrased all of these Sanskrit verses. Most of them are Sanskrit verses because his audience is Bengali. The book is originally in Bengali. Basically, the original audience for this book, the intended audience of the book the author had in mind was the Bengalis. That's like someone when someone writes a book, they're thinking it's written for some audience. So they adjust the language appropriately. If you're writing a book for five-year-old children, then you'll adjust your language and presentation accordingly. So he's writing in Bengali language, and he's introducing each of these Sanskrit verses with a Bengali one-sentence introduction. Then most of the verses are in Sanskrit. They're by Prabodhananda Saraswati, by Krishnadas Kaviraj, by Narottam Das Thakur, by Shukadeva Goswami, by Rupa, by Sanatan, etc. So now the people of Bengal, they cannot understand. So he rephrased the Sanskrit verses in Bengali, and along with rephrasing the verses, he also added some of his own little bit of purport in the Bengali, which is there. In addition to that, mostly the purports here are actually translations of the Bengali, but there's also purports, some mild additions here in terms of purports in this book, and this is an addition from Gaudiya Math. So that's what this book is all about.
About that?
Maharaj, these chapters evolve out of his meditation progressively through the Shikshastakam.
Yes. Like,
where are we now?
Now we're at Nadana Najana Nasundaram. And he says that this represents ruchi. And because when one has a taste for serving Krishna, especially chanting his name and all the aspects of serving, then he loses his taste from Drisvanivartate, basically. When one gets a higher taste, he loses the lower taste. So he's saying that, and he gives very extensive meaning of all that, that when one gets a taste in bhajan, he loses taste for dharm, art, kam, moksha, and that dhanana janana sundaram kavitam represents those things also. So the chatur purushartha, the four goals of human life which everyone's endeavoring for, as soon as you get a taste for Krishna bhajan, or worshipping Krishna, you lose your taste for even liberation. You don't even care about liberation. And then at this level of ruchi, you begin ahoituki bhakti. Bhavatad bhakti ahoituki toyi, that you're not doing bhakti for anything, or just there's no cause. Ahoituki means ahetu, without any cause. You're not trying to get any effect from your bhakti. You don't want anything. You're just serving Krishna for his pleasure. And then after that comes ayinanda tanaja, and then you become so attached to the object of your bhajan, and that represents a sakti. Stitaduli, keep me fixed. That's literally, figuratively and literally. Stitaduli sadrisham vichintya, keep me forever fixed and glued and attached to your feet, which means in your service. And this represents asakti, which also means attachment, that I'm completely attached. So it goes like this. So then each chapter, you'll see as we get progressively, as we go further, the verses get more and more intimate, the quotations, because he's leading us basically to prema. And prema means seva, and seva of whom? Prema seva of Srimati Radharani, because she is the one who's actually speaking Shikshastakam. Shikshastakam is spoken by Lord Krishna in Radhabhav, an intense separation from Krishna. Ayinanda Tanaj, this is Radharani calling to Nanda Nandan, right? Because he's saying Nanda Nandan and Govinda Virahena. Oh Govinda, oh Nanda Nandan, oh Ishwara, oh Jagadish. These are all male names. These are all Radharani calling out to her Prananath. So this prayer is spoken by Radharani. So this prayer is leading one to the service of Radharani's lotus feet, which is the basic siddhanta of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Prem Seva of Srimati Radharani, along with Govinda, because they're always together. So as we get on, the verses are all, so many verses from Radharas Sudhaniti and from 10th canto of Bhagavatam, and because then it starts all talking about Asakti and Bhav and Prem. And then we're coming up from, these verses are all shining on the top of the mountain of devotion, and we'll be climbing from lower steps, looking up at these splendorous toes of these verses, and trying to appreciate something from our adhikara and perspective. Yeah, Maharaj.
Okay, you mentioned
As Rupa Sanatan Padati.
Yeah.
Can you explain, is there another way to proceed or?
Well, let me just get a little. This word padati means a process or a path to perfection. Process. Like pad almost, only pad, foot. Like padati means a process or path to perfection. And Gaudiya Vaishnava is in the path, the perfection is the same for everyone. Everyone is basically, most everyone is aspiring for the eternal service of Radha Govinda. And Manjari Bhav, Gopi Bhav, Braja Bhakti. It's just categorically the same for everyone, whether you're in the line of Advaita, Nityananda, Gadadhar, etc. But in particular lines, there are acharyas who have codified or made some kind of krama or sequence or systematized their style, let's say their style of, their way of getting there, or their system to get to the same goal. I mean, everyone's goal is prema pumharta mahan. The goal is Krishna prema, or specifically the prema seva of Radha Govinda and Vrindavan, Brijendra Nandan. So the process to get there, some people may go by jet plane, some people may go by helicopter. There's different processes. So different acharyas in different lines, they have tried to put it into a systematic way by writing some book. So Siddha Krishnadas, he wrote a padati, Gaurgovinda Gita, Gutika, and he also a padati. He has specific books which give his followers, those followers are his sajati, they're in his line or his family line of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they will follow that padati. That is for them. Now those that are in the line coming from Rakreshwara Pandit to Gopal Guru to Dhyan Chandra, and they're coming in that line, there's a padati called Dhyan Chandra's padati. Gauragovinda's Archana Smarana Padati. So that book is actually a book in Bengali and has many Sanskrit shlokas. Do this meditation and these bija mantras and all this. This book is specifically for those that are in the line, that line. That's their padati. And so what happens is there's different padatis in different lines. But nowadays, coming in English at least, all these books come in English from different sides. And people, they mix them up and it becomes Khichdi padati. So they take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this, and I don't know where they end up, but that's what they do. So this is going against the actual teaching of Rupa Goswami, who's saying in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that we, as you well know, should be sajati snigda. We should be sajati. Jati means family. We should stay in our family line and follow the padati that's coming down in our line. So although you may never have heard that term before, but actually, Rupa and Sanatan, they also have a padati. And the padati, or the path of perfection that they're giving us, is exactly what Lord Chaitanya gave them. So these other padatis are a little bit like poetic license. They from these individual Siddha Mahatmas or Acharyas in those lines, they've had their realizations, and they think, yes, we should do our bhajan like this, or we should do this meditation, or this type of puja, or this type of smaran, and then they write it. They realized it, and they write it, and that's a gift. That's a gift for the members of their parampara. Yeah. And but now it's like, that's your gift. Okay, it's called eclectic bhajan. Yeah. You know this word, eclectic, a little here, a little there, or in Indians, eclectic means khichdi. Say khichdi bhajan. So the line that's being presented to us, you know, in terms of Bhakti Siddhanta and Bhakti Vinod, they're taking the original line that was given by Lord Chaitanya in his Sanatan Shiksha and Rupa Shiksha, you know, in this teachings that Lord Chaitanya directly gave in an outline way. He gave the outline of the path of perfection, the padati. Gauranga's padati was given in outline form to Rupa and Sanatan. And then they codified it. They made their own books to give perfection. So if we read all the books of Rupa Goswami and all the books of Sanatana Goswami, this is called the Rupa Sanatana Padati, if you follow their teachings. And then Raghunath Das Goswami, who was their Shiksha disciple, he added some other of his own realizations. But it's all in line with Rupa and Sanatana's Padati. So it's not a different Padati. So the actual Padati, so you can say this is the orthodox Chaitanya religion. Like you have the Greek Orthodox and the Lutherans and Baptists and all this.
You read all their books and it will manifest.
Something
more mechanical, like this is our putati.
I'll get to that. So this is the basic. This is you know, and it's not that. Oh, this is it. This putati is right, and that one is wrong. It's not like that. This is a putati. This is a path of perfection coming from root and sanatan. Now other acharyas who are also, you know, they're also Raghunuga devotees, and they're also Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So they have their own realizations in their line, and they add their own putati. But if you draw a line from Rupa and Sanatan and strictly follow their line from their teachings and books, you'll find a certain type of teaching. So their putati is based on three basic steps. And this is, three basic points. Guru Parashraya, Sri Krishna Diksha Adi Shikshanam, and Vishrambhena Guru Seva, which you know too well. This is the first three limbs of the 64 limbs of bhakti, and all the other limbs are only these expansions of these. So the Rupa and Sanatan Padati can be summarized in these three points: that we surrender to the spiritual master, we stay in our line, and we receive diksha mantras from him, and then we receive instructions, and we serve with faith and devotion. This is actually Rupa and Sanatan Padati, and then to support that or to find the conclusion, the guru will give us all the teachings of Rupa Sanatan. So some people, some acharyas, they've taken that and say, yes, but we can add this. And then they add their padati. But other acharyas come down and say, no, what Rupa Sanatan's padati, we're going to be orthodox. It's called orthodox. We're going to strictly follow that line. And this is what's come down to us from Bhaktivinoda to Bhaktisanatan to our Gurudev. So we would like to say this is, you can say the orthodox or we say it's a progressive path of bhajan, which is based on chapter 19, the verse which Rupa Goswami gives, adoshara tata sarasanga. Nothing added, nothing subtracted. So this is the path we follow. We only need to study Rupa Raghunatha Padi Hoivyakuti. We only have to study the books of Rupa and Raghunath. There's no need to study this padati and that padati, because all it simply does is make chakra. Mana chakra. I have to do Jagannath Mishra Bhavan meditation. I have to do this bija mantra to the Astasakis. If that's what your guru gives you, if your guru is taking that padati from another line and importing it into his line and giving it to you directly and saying you do this, then you do it. That's Vishrambhena Gaurseva. But in our line of Rupa Goswami, Vishrambhena Goroseva, whatever they're giving us, we take that as our sajati. That is our sajati siddhanta, and we follow that. We don't import from other lines unless our guru imports. So this is why this is an orthodox line, and it's completely bona fide way to attain perfection.
Very nice. I like that. We're the traditionalists.
Traditionalists.
No.
So the thing, what happens when sometimes when people are following tradition, they say, oh, it's really going slow. You know, this traditional way seems to be slow. We should invent something new. So in their own bhajan and their own meditation, they say, maybe we can invent something new, maybe something new. So they pray to Lord Chaitanya, and they get some new ideas to satisfy their desire to bring out something new, which is also bona fide. Lord Chaitanya is giving. Yes, Siddha Krishna Das, he's Siddha. He was Siddha. He was a Siddha. He was perfect devotee, pure devotee. So he wanted to help the devotees to speed up the traditional process out of his own compassion. So then Lord Chaitanya revealed this Gorgavinda Gutika and so many books, and Bhavana Sarasangra, which is simply an anthology. This is all revealed by Radharani to him, to put all this together in one book. And this is the Leela Granth. But he has actual specific books about meditation, chanting, and everything. So those that are in his line, because he used to teach and he had his line, they will Siddha Krishnadas Padati from Govardhan.
Yeah.
And then some other gurus from some other line, they might say, they might recognize, this is very good, you take it. So they import it. It's called importing into their own line. But the strict sajati line, because Lord Chaitanya didn't give those things. Lord Chaitanya didn't give those things. What Lord Chaitanya directly and explicitly gave to Rupa and Sanatan is the line we're following. That's why you can say it's orthodox or traditional.
Right. You know, it's, you know, one sc- uh, you probably know the person who translated the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that scholar David Haverman.
Yeah, acting as a way. I actually did meet him. I met him in Vrindavan Research Institute.
Nice Vaishnava.
He worships Giriraj. He also
Giriraj.
Yeah,
nice Vaishnava. And his book that he wrote is a very good historical study of Rock and Hooper Bhakti.
Acting as a way of salvation.
You ever read that book?
I saw it, and I saw you because he talked about Rasalilas and stuff. I was looking at that part.
Historically, it's he really understands the philosophy, and he's actually done good research. I mean, generally, scholars, it's just they don't know what they're talking about. But I guess because he's a Vaishnava, you know. But he described the period after Lord Chaitanya, and this is with his historical research. That's with, Dhyanchandra and Vikrasha. He called it the creative period. and not in a derogatory way.
Neo-Chaitanyaism.
It seemed to be considered that way historically. That, they devised different ways to institute the practices. And like you say, it's bona fide in their life. But the criticism that comes to our life, you know, that
you're not creative.
We're not the traditionalists, they actually say.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, because we're not following the creative line. So
well, because that line has become prominent. In certain ways, and it's been going on for so many years in certain ways for people who are getting into esoteric things that they say this we're the traditionalists. But what you're saying, which is actually correct, is if you really want to be the traditionalist, then you go back before the creative.
Yes.
And
so no one should misunderstand the presentation. If you do, but what we want just to clarify it, it's not in this presentation. It's not us. We're not creating some division here, us and them. It's we followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we worshippers of Radha and Krishna, and we aspirants for the loving service of Radharani and Krishna and the groves of Vrindavan. We have different. That's why Rupa Goswami says sa jati snigda. Sajati, your sajati means your jati. He doesn't. If there's no need, if it's only one family, there's no reason to say sajati, your family. So that as Krishna Kaviraj explains in Adi Lila, the Chaitanya tree has many branches. The trunk is one. There's one big trunk of a very big tree and has many big branches. Nityananda's branch, Advaita, and then these sub branches. So they're all connected to the same tree and they're all producing the same fruits. Every branch of the tree, if you have a mango tree, it may have many branches, one trunk with many branches, but every fruit is going to taste the same. So whatever line, whatever jati or line of Chaitanya Vaishnavism one is inscribed in or enlisted in, he will, at a time of perfection, will taste the same fruit. It's not that, oh, my mango tastes different than yours. A mango is a mango. So whether you're coming in and Gopal Guru's line, or Nityananda's line, or Dvaita's, or Gadadhar, or this Rupa Sanatana Padati, or whatever line, when the phal is in your hands and you taste the sweetness of Krishna Prem, it will taste the same, irregardless of the line. So I wanted to just close on this note, so no one thinks that this is a creative period. These are, because as I tried to bring out, that these Siddha Mahatmas are pure devotees of the Lord, out of their compassion, because they're already Siddha, but they're seeing, oh, my followers, or those in our line, they're having difficulty. They can't fix their mind on their bhajan, and they need some help. Or maybe I can increase their absorption in meditation, or give them some techniques to help them fix their minds more on the mandri bhav and the mandris. So I'll give them these bija mantras for the asta mandris, and I'll give them this meditation. And this will come either from his own compassion, he'll produce this book, or it will come from enlightenment, from the Lord of Love, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then it's a bona fide thing. I have practical realization, although it can't compare at all with these great stalwarts. But we were seeing over the years how devotees are having so much difficulty. They always say, oh, we have so much trouble fixing our mind on the holy name. So I was praying to Krishna, we produce some book. And they might say, well, Manadi Swami is part of the creative period of ISKCON. he's not a traditionalist. He brought this book out, Art of Chanting, and all these new ideas are bogus, and this isn't Prabhupada, whatever, so much can be there. But I was only operating out of my own intense desire to help improve devotees' bhajan lives and help them become more attached to the holy name, which is our bhajan, and become more absorbed in it. So somehow this book came out.
Considered very authorized by everyone I've ever spoken to.
Thank you. But I mean, I can't say it's any kind of divinely inspired. It just kind of happened. But at any rate, we can certainly understand how Dhyan Chandra, because Rakreshwar Pandit, he was teaching Gopal how to do bhajan, and Gopal was doing bhajan, and Dhyan Chandra was doing bhajan as Gopal Guru's disciple. Then Dhyan Chandra thought, this is very nice, but Kali Yuga is coming, and maybe people can't remember so well. I should write it down. So then Dhyan Chandra wrote down all the secret teachings he received in his line, and that became their padati. That became their official process of perfection. Was before that, they already had a process or path of perfection, but it was handed down by mouth from the words of the guru to the ear of the disciple. But Kali Yuga being such, memories being so weak, then he recorded it. So 500 years later, people are studying it and getting advantage. So the bottom line is that Vishrambena Guror Seva, regardless of whatever line you're in, whatever family of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, you have to serve the feet of the guru, of your guru, with great love and devotion and confidence and trust. And that is the key to perfection. So we'll end there.
Oh.
Yes. No, I don't want to. I should say we should follow Vande Rupa Sanatana Rugyago Sri Jiva Gopala. Generally, our acharyas, they usually say we should follow Rupa and Sanatan, because Jiva is a follower of Rupa, Raghunath is a follower of Rupa. Basically, because when you see in this world and in the spiritual world, everyone is following Rupa, basically, Rupa Manjari. Even though Sanatan, Rupa is offering his respect to his elder brother, even Sanatan is following Rupa in the spiritual world. Rupa is so highly placed. So we could just say follow Rupa, because that includes Sanatan. But generally they say Rupa and Sanatan. But I don't mean to neglect Sri Jiva. But if there's no Jiva, there's no Jiva.
You're saying the path, so it includes everyone that's
in the path, yes.
And you, so.
Exactly. Thank you for reminding us of Sri Jiva Goswami. One last thing, it's late. Yes. Seva and bhajan? That's a big topic. Sometimes they define seva and sevaka. Bhajan and seva, basically there's no difference. Really, there's no difference. Bhajan, the words are kind of, sometimes they're used interchangeably. In other words, what does bhajan mean? Bhajan means you're doing some service. Seva means doing service. The real thing is to understand the difference between karma and seva. The seva or bhajan, seva and bhajan are those activities which give pleasure to Krishna and which are done with a favorable mood or favorable attitude and give pleasure to Krishna. And there's all varieties of seva, there's all varieties of bhajan. There's nam-bhajan, there's smaran bhajan, there's all kinds of bhajan, there's all kinds of seva. They're basically interchangeable. But in both bhajan and seva, the heart must be there. We must have a heart to please Krishna, and we must heartily try to please him by our activities given to us by Guru. Seva and bhajan are all coming from Guru. There's no seva, no bhajan without the sanction and order of Guru. Guru agya, then we try to carry it out. That's our seva, that's our bhajan.